On a road trip, what's the best seat to take in an SUV?
Back right.
Driver's seat.
back right.
Why are you trying to be me so bad?
Wait. Back right, as in like there's, we're talking about three rows.
Mm-hmm. Second row. Right behind the passenger.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Explain. Yeah.
Well, okay. So I feel like if you're going to be behind somebody, you have to give the driver room, right? So you don't want to be directly behind the driver and like, whatever, but like behind the passenger, you can be like, move up a little, give me some space. But I just feel like automatically you can't just assume you're going to get the passenger seat.
Okay.
You know, so I'm not going to be like,
not a shotgun caller.
Well, I just feel like there's people who are more passionate than I am, and I would rather them be happy than me take that spot.
Okay. So this is also a good view, by the way, because you can see what the driver is doing.
That was going to be my reasoning.
Gotcha.
Like, my reasoning was you have the view of the driver. So mm-hmm. if they ever need help, you know, usually the passenger is someone who's very passionate about being shotgun. They're like, oh, shotgun.
Yeah.
And they are always on their phone. Maybe they're not paying attention to the driver. Yeah.
This is the passenger's the DJ.
Yeah.
Designated DJ.
Yeah. They're the DJ, but usually like they're supposed to make sure, you know, the driver is good.
Yeah.
But usually they just
awake.
They just pay attention to the DJ.
I feel like there's
a problem with people who call shotgun are the worst shotgunners.
Yeah, yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
So I like the position of back right where you have a vision of the driver.
Yeah.
So if they need help, you can help. You can add in your occasional like, hey, maybe we can stop here. You can go here. You're also the command for the back. You're the communication for the back. So the backseaters, you know, they can't communicate to the front. Mm-hmm. So they'll come to you and then you tell the driver.
Yeah.
Because the passenger is not listening, or the shotgunner is not listening. Like,
yeah.
He has no control or anything like that.
Yeah.
Driver has all the control. So you're basically what the shotgun should be. But you're in the back. Also, from
yeah.
the backup from, QB.
From an introverted perspective, you also have time to yourself, too. Like,
okay.
You can be by yourself. You can, you know, if you want to plug in headphones,
yeah,
it's a comfortable space to be in there, in the back right.
Yeah.
Back left, you're kind of too secluded from everything.
Mm-hmm.
And your line of sight is the shotgunner.
Yeah. But I feel like when... As the youngest child, I had to always be sent all the way to the back. Like, it wasn't a question. Amber, you're the youngest, you're the smallest, go to the back. And so naturally, when I go on trips with people, I know that I have moods throughout the trip. And so I take full opportunity when I don't care to go all the way to the back. I'm like, I'll go all the way to the back because there's going to be a time in this trip where I'm going to want to sit up in the front. And nobody's going to like say anything to it. So I'll go straight to the back for even the bulk of the trip. But the one time that I say like, okay, I'm going to stay right here. Nobody's going to say nothing to me.
I'm big on dynamic. So everyone playing the role that they're supposed to play. And the issue is like how we all acknowledge this, that the passenger sometimes does not do the passenger job.
Yeah.
Like you're supposed to be, you know, the right arm. You're supposed to be the assist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, this is supposed to be the Pippin and Jordan is in the driver's seat. And so my issue is that like, and people don't say anything. And so it's like, as the driver is like, has the command because don't disturb the driver. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if there's a good driver, I ideally like the passenger spot because I feel like I'm a really good assist to the driver. And if the driver is good at driving, isn't like, you know, there's some people that are like, yeah, I'm a good driver. And then they're not good drivers. They're not. If everybody has their necks out and is looking straight at the road, that means you're a bad driver.
Yeah.
If everyone is comfortably like kind of doing their own thing and the music is like low when it needs to be so that everyone is in conversation. But then when it's like hype time, the music is on point. Mm-hmm. Everyone is singing along.
And that take reasonable stops.
Right.
They can't be like dictating all the stops and all the not
they
stopping.
Accommodate. They make everybody feel comfortable. And even like they let the passenger know, hey, like make sure to put this person's track next or that next or whatever. If we have like somebody who's just kind of like, yo, let me put you on this. And everyone's like, bro, we don't like these. Yeah. We want to be able to sing. Like, stop trying to put us on.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's very important that everyone enjoys themselves, to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for some people, it's like, I need to enjoy and I need to show people how like driving is done. Mm-hmm. Or if you're the passenger, I need to show what good music is. It's like, that's not, then you're not really friends because
yeah.
you don't even understand what your friends really like.
The, yeah. the most, I forgot what word to say, but the most like nicest thing that the shotgunner can do is basically like feed the driver like chips or like if they have a drink.
Oh, yeah.
Like that's the cutest thing like someone can do.
Yeah, like don't get Cheeto dust on their fingers. If they need to dip their fries in ketchup, make that nice like little space there.
Yeah.
You know, make the cup holder space nice and neat.
Yeah.
I'm big into this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like amongst the boys, like we've taken a lot of trips, everyone kind of like knew and fell into those roles that it made it very easy to be able to travel. Everyone knew like, and it's not about like, oh, you're small, so go in the back or something. Mm-hmm. It's like who is going to do the job the best at this point? Who really wants to be in this position?
Yeah.
And so it's just like a lot of people are okay with it.
Yeah.
I remember Shamir used to like have a huge setup where he was like editing and everything in the car ride and stuff.
All these extra chargers and shit.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, he needed to be comfortable. He needed the wiring to work in his favor. And people were like very, you know, just adaptive to that setup.
Yeah.
And it was like, if the driving was off or the air conditioning was off, bro, the editor cannot be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it matters what role you're playing in that friend group as well. If you're like one of the people who tends to take charge in that group, then you are closer to the front slash driver. But if you tend to, if there's other stronger personalities in that group who are like the leaders, if you will, then I feel like you are closer to the back.
Yeah, yeah. But it's funny. I've seen this. It's just like very rare in this friend group. But like when we go on trips, Frost's brother has like a lot of energy. And so like we actually put him in the back because he has a lot of energy because it like radiates through the car.
So, the whole car is like shaking from the back. And it's funny. He's shouting from the back. He's like, put my song on next. Put my song on next. Because if he's in the passenger seat, first of all, the songs are going about 10 seconds per song.
Yeah.
It's just like next, next, next. They're all just like, it'll go from like super like clubby song to like super scenty song right away.
Yeah.
Like hard drop. There's no transition. Like I'll have an app on my phone that literally lets me DJ and do transitions and stuff. I'm looking at the playlist. We would make like a playlist that allows people to add on to and then put it in an order that like, either the BPMs are like naturally progressing or that like the vibe is shifting a little bit. I'll be like, okay, let's put in like two Shimmer songs here. Let's put in like something that Saad will enjoy. Get the driver energy up.
Coke
let's
Studio.
Do something from the back. Yeah. Like, okay, we're looking at this view. The song should be this one. Yeah. But it's like, it needs to be adaptive.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be accommodating of everybody. You can't have people that are just like, yo, like I need this.
Yeah. I was like thinking about the like car dynamic and immediately, I don't know why, before I put anybody in the driver's seat, I knew that Dower was going in the back row.
Yeah.
For some reason, I just already placed him there. And not only that, like if he is putting on something, he's immediately looking around to see people's reaction and validation on what he picked.
It's so funny because it's like if he does put on a good song, right? And I'm like Shazamming it. He's like, he sees it right away and he's like, yeah,
it's a good song, right?
He's like bro, you did not make this. But I understand the feeling.
Yeah, the feeling is good
because if somebody like is like, yo, what is this?
Yeah,
you don't even answer for a good like 10 seconds. You turn around and smirk. You're like, oh, you don't know?
But I feel like he's waiting for somebody to ask, like,
yeah,
oh you like this song? Yeah, yeah. this one yeah and they have these other good songs too.
Yeah, no, it's fun. It's always like a good dynamic to figure out on road trips. Comment which one you are, if or like which one the worst is, if you've ever been in this situation. Welcome everybody back to another episode of Strange Flavors,
the strangest
and greatest podcast
in the game.
Worse.
I feel like you guys keep changing it. I feel like
the original
every time
is
I
in
say game, and you always do this.
What?
Like the original is this.
Yeah.
All right.
What did you say? In the world?
I was going to say universe.
We don't have to, we don't have to debate this every podcast.
I know, but it's just like I'm. I feel like I'm having.
Okay,
that
universe is Mandela no one effect. Else said that except you.
Is that true?
I use the tail end of it. I said gameiverse just game-iverse? So I can mess everything okay. up.
Okay. So she's the problem.
She's always a problem.
I thought that was the whole thing, was we're supposed to all say different things. Somebody says planet. Somebody says game. Somebody says universe. Somebody says... Nyeh.
Yeah. Well, here we are again. Back at it. We're almost... We're on episode 192. Can you believe we're almost at 200?
Oh, my wow. God.
We've been doing this a long time. So
where is our sponsorships at?
I was actually looking through my like Snapchat stories. It was like 7 years ago. And I'm like, damn, we've been doing this podcast for 7 years, bro. That's crazy.
How long has it really been in the action? You know what I mean? Like it's 7 years, but like there's been like missing months between
years
that. So
too.
It honestly might be like 2 years.
No.
All right, relax.
This is definitely like the fifth year.
In podcast years, how many?
In podcast years.
If we put the hours together, like 300 hours?
No, we've had a lot of like time, but like we probably hit our 10,000 hours. Just kidding. Not literally, but I'm just saying over the course of the years, like it's not a small amount of time.
Are you including like setup or just like just the podcast? Like
I was just saying the podcast hours, like in the game.
Oh, okay.
Well, then you could just do 172 times an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of them were over an hour. Yeah. There's some that are like 2 hours, 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. That's why I was saying like maybe like 300 hours. 300. If you count Patreon too, because those are episodes too.
Yeah.
300 hours, I'm going to say.
Yeah. I thought you meant like time investment. Like
oh, yeah. Time
getting
investment
there,
is crazy.
Setting up.
No.
Exporting.
Okay, sure.
Editing.
Yeah.
We've been doing this a long time. We're almost on episode 200.
It used to take me like 10 hours to edit the podcast.
Oh my gosh.
In the early days.
Still does. No, it's good to have you guys, especially the ones that have been here since the beginning of the journey, still listening in. And we get a lot of feedback. I ran into Osama from MOTW again, and he was just saying that like, which is a coffee shop in Connecticut. And he was just saying like, keep up the great work with the podcast. And they're actually thinking about having a podcast space in their coffee shop.
Oh, nice.
Which is really cool. So it's nice to see people who are supporting this whole thing.
Yeah.
It's really love.
Cool. We asked you guys last time if you want to send in emails for like advice and stuff like that, please feel free to do so. And we
have one?
We have an email.
Let's go. Let's go.
And it says, hey guys, just wondering, is that Amber on the P4 album cover? Thanks, Cacho. Okay, so
what is P4?
I believe that is Party Next Door. Let's look this up.
P4.
Live in front of you guys.
Okay, P4.
This is actually disrespectful because this is a new album.
Oh, wait. I think I know what it is.
That's crazy. That's insane.
Oh, dude.
That's insane.
All right, let's share just the
just go
the
open it from your Apple.
Here.
Just go show open it
that
from
that is crazy.
Let's show the cutoff here for
the cutoff version.
That is crazy. What the heck?
I don't need the imagination to be out there. This is
Amber. Can we get an answer for Kasha?
Yeah, is that you?
Guys, this is supposed to be anonymous. No. It was supposed to be no face, no case.
Amber, can I ask you a question?
What?
If you need money, mm-hmm. we can open up a lemonade stand.
Right.
We can do car washes, non-nude, mm-hmm. right? We've heard of the nude car washes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this right here, mm-hmm. You on the Party Next Door P4 album cover laid in on a bed, presumably Party's bed, in this unique yoga pose.
This position.
Is this you? Can we get an answer for Cacho?
Yeah.
No.
People. I would just like to say the Patreon is not that expensive. Amber needs a check.
Yeah.
So that she doesn't have to do Party Next Door album covers anymore.
I'm not going to lie. I look kind of hot. I'll take credit for this.
Also, we talk about her experience on the Patreon, so
taking this picture. I'm creating this very cover. You know,
So Cacho, if you want to know more.
It's assumed that Party actually snapped the picture with Zone Phone.
Because Party is actually a patron member.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was like, shout out to need you to talk about that.
Our patron Party.
Party.
This is such an interesting cover because I have never been asked more if I listen to an album by men in a week than this album.
Wait, why?
I don't know. Everybody's like, hey, did you listen to New Party Next Door album? And I'm like, that's a really random album for you to be asking me about. Well, does this like, perhaps have anything to do with the cover?
That's like if, you know, you do a cover for like, you know, Variety or Men's Health or something. And then somebody asks you about an article inside of it. So it's like, hey, what did you think about that article? I saw you were on the cover. So that's what, you know,
that's why they're asking me.
They're asking you what you think about the album, which you are decorated on. Really?
Decorated on.
It's just funny. Like, is that the first thing they're thinking? Like,
they're definitely not. They're definitely not. Like, also, who is Cacho? Meet me outside.
Cacho. Also, the album is great. It sounds good. But I'm not going to lie. I need like a Kidz Bop album cover version.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, like when you're using CarPlay. Mm-hmm. Like when I go in the car and if like...
And your dad's like in the passenger seat.
No, my dad's fine. He's like
Party, that's Party. I like album cover.
Party got album cover, but actually... No, yeah, if it's like mom or somebody, it's just like...
What a visual
why is this the cover? I don't want the Kidz Bop album, mm-hmm. just the Kidz Bop album cover.
Yeah. But I feel like this is pulling in so much attention because I'm like... Like, literally, this guy the other day was like, hey, have you, like, heard the album? And I'm like, no, but I've heard about the album cover. And they're like, yeah, I haven't listened to the whole album, but I, like, really like it. And I'm like, so how do you know? You just like the cover, don't you? And they're like, I mean, that's not that bad either, you know?
I think that this album cover should have a one of those paint recreations. Have you ever seen those, like... The what's it called on Twitter, like they'll do like this
the avatar version
porn screenshot, but then they'll replace like all of the nudity and everything with like
something
else up, so it'll be like, you know, some girl, and then she's like singing into a mic or she's like
a paintbrush,
she's like eating a hot dog. So like this could be, you know,
what side of Twitter are you guys on?
Meme.
At least it's not the actual images.
Yeah.
For us, we know that you have the actual images on your Twitter too.
Amber, you were on the Party Next Door.
Yeah, you're on the album cover.
I love that. Stop everybody. It. The fact that they think that I'm that tan is like living. Like I'm a little pasty, but.
Shout out to Cacho.
Shout out to Cacho. Should we just reply like yes?
Yes.
That's a wild thing BTS. For them to be like, okay, I'm going to email in this question.
Yeah. Because I think, you know, they want to stay anonymous.
Did you guys see Cacho's last name?
No.
Ipepe?
Ass.
Oh.
Cacho ass?
Cacho ass. I got your ass. That's me. I wrote the email.
Wait, really? What is wrong with you?
Yeah, nobody was sending emails. I was like, yo, let me send this.
Yeah, that's funny. That's good.
Cacho ass.
Dang.
Cacho.
That's good.
Call me head Cacho.
So you're telling me that you saw this album cover, immediately thought of me?
And yeah, that's kind of sus,
That's kind of sus as that's heck. Sus.
I saw the album cover and I was like, what would be funny to say about this album cover? Amber had always rocks the braids.
Always?
Sometimes.
Very minimally.
But it was a good question for, like, you know, one of our I feel like our listeners would ask this question. So
still sus.
Sus.
Thank you. But you had some real advice that came in, or what?
Oh, I had to ask you guys for your thoughts on something. So basically this past weekend,
let me erase this image from over here real quick.
Yeah, it's distracting. Gatsby gear.
This is actually my spam email.
Hey, guys. Oh, did you purposely spell things wrong on?
Yeah, look, I just sent it right before.
But did you spell it wrong on purpose?
2:07 p.m. It was literally while we were like discussing. I was listening to Party on the way here.
I'm crying. Okay, so this thing came across my mind. Go ahead, John.
No, go ahead.
This came across my mind this weekend because I had went on a date and, you know, it was the first date. I was asked out. And this was somebody who had asked me out multiple times. And then we finally go on to dinner. Okay. So we go to dinner and they pick the place and that we order food and then the check comes out. And naturally being having zero self-respect, honestly, I take out my card and offer it. Okay.
And having zero self-respect for like who you
for are? For myself. I offer the card because I was going to say, oh, like I'm a self-respecting woman who brings out my card. No, if I had any self-respect, I would have just sat there smiling. But I because like I just feel like naturally I always offer my card. Right. That's what I'm always going to do.
Yeah.
Because I don't ever want you to think that I'm expecting it.
I thought that is self-respect.
It is. But now we'll get there.
OK.
So I offer my card.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, you want to split this? And I was like, sure.
Like and excited in that way?
Yeah. He was like, oh, you want to split this?
Were you excited or were you like Vine Boom sound?
I just like eyes down.
Vine Boom sound? Yeah, like, what's that?
I like eyes down, take out my card from my purse and just place it on the table. Don't say a word. Okay. And I like go to take a sip of my water. And then he looks at me. He's like, he looks at the bill. He looks at the card. He looks at me. He goes, oh, you want to split this? And I was like, sure. And he goes, oh, thank you so much. Takes my card. Okay. And I'm not usually nitpicky, but just keep in mind that his meal costed a good amount more than mine did. Okay.
Okay.
Then he was like, okay, cool. Like, I really want to go to like this hookah bar next. So we go to the hookah bar. We get there and immediately they ask for a card and an ID. So he hands them the card and ID. Okay. And so at the end, when we're checking out, they were like, should we just charge the card on file? And he goes, yeah. Okay. And so,
which is his card,
his card.
But now he's kind of like annoyed by it.
No, he just says like, imagine like somebody asks you like, oh, do you want to charge a card on fire? And he, whoa, should we charge the card on file? And he was like, yeah, we can do that. Right. Wasn't just okay. Like, yes. So then I look at him and I was like, did you want to split that? What I should have said was, do you need help with that? Mm. But instead,
oh, I see.
I said, did you want to split that? And he goes, no, it's OK. It's OK. We don't have to split it. You can just get the next one. Buddy, there's not going to be a next one. there's not going to be.
Because of this or other reasons?
I mean, well, either way.
Just don't say that, first of all.
Yeah.
Like,
even if you're struggling, you're just like, just suck it up. You're just like.
Just suck it up.
You're like, ugh.
And then maybe after because I know you're not struggling.
Oh, he's not struggling?
No, he's definitely making more money than I am.
It's his party, bro. He's on top of the game.
No, but that, you know, maybe he's like saving up for something. Down
payment. P5?
Yeah, P5. He's like, I need to get a higher model like next time.
But then also like maybe then don't go to hookah then. Like don't offer to go places and stuff. So then I was like, okay. So I look at the bill and I just Apple pay him $50. Don't ask a question. He looks over at me, Apple paying him. And he goes, aw, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
This is at the hookah bar now?
At the hookah bar.
He's like, aw, it's actually 53. What did you
get? Oh, I'm sure because I didn't include tip.
$50 is a lot.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Mind you, he ordered more things than I did, but I was just like, I'm not going to do it.
That's crazy.
All right.
So in this case, I'm like, aside from that, it was a pretty nice situation. He was a nice guy. Mm-hmm. He's handsome.
Friends with Drake.
And like everything about him otherwise was pretty decent, but I cannot get myself to like reply to his text or really like engage in this any further because I'm having a hard time getting over the fact that this is a first date and you weren't like, I don't know if I'm being petty because like I don't typically expect this type of thing, but I always offer my card. And if this was like the fourth date, I would totally understand that we split it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. But as the first date, mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm just being stuck up, being like, it's really messed up. But do you guys as guys, like, what do you guys think?
No, I really do pay attention to that stuff. because on surface, I'm very much like, I don't, when it comes to the money stuff, it's like, it shouldn't be awkward. It shouldn't be anything that's weird. It should be kind of like understood, and there should be a level of respect there. As a guy, I think the nice thing, kind of like the chivalrous thing to do, is to cover and at least offer. And especially the first time, I think it's just like kind of the right thing to do. And then from there on, as you kind of like grow to know each other, you can have conversations like this. You can pick places that are more within, like, if that makes you uncomfortable, more within your budget. And then that's where you're testing the girl too, to see like, okay, is she accommodating as well? Is mm-hmm. she saying thank you? Is she like kind of on yeah. the same page? Does she offer? She doesn't have to necessarily, but it's like, that would be even nicer if she at least offers, but you still like cover it. It's kind of just this thing that makes you feel like comforted and secure. Mm-hmm. Now, the other side could also be that he could have had really bad experiences where he could have gone on dates where girls just kind of like taking advantage of him. He's always paying. Mm-hmm. So that's only because we weren't there. I don't know the situation. I don't know his experiences.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I could maybe understand, but I don't
know. Well, going with that, right? Like, I think the guy should always first 2 or 3 dates, maybe. Like, mm-hmm. general rule of thumb, maybe just pay for like everything. At least have the girl offer. I think mm-hmm. a girl should offer like every single time. Guy just says, no, I'll handle it, whatever. Yeah. After the third date, he could straight up say, we're splitting this.
Yeah.
Everything he said to you, I think after the third date, totally
okay.
Fine.
First I would date, be though, okay with even the second date. Mm. I would have been okay with him taking my car.
Yeah.
But this part that's really kind of sticking out is that his stuff costs more than yours.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're paying for half. That's yeah. even more kind of just like, bruh.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he's like,
what are you doing?
Making money.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also the first.
He's getting a discount on his meals.
Yeah. Yeah.
The first date should be like, you're trying to do everything to impress this girl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if, you know, if you're choosing these places, do whatever you can to impress this girl. And then second, third date, you can be more like less impressive and, you know, be like more realistic and be like, right, yeah,
because we're all working, like, for the most part, like, going on dates and stuff, you're both making money. That's like, I don't expect the guy to have to handle it every time. I just think that on the first date, when you use the words, I really want to take you out. I want to take you out. Maybe I just took myself out and I took you out. Like, that's not taking me out. I took myself out.
Yeah.
And so I talked to a couple of my friends about this. They were like, how was the date and stuff? And I was like, girl, like, I don't know how to feel about this, but like, I paid for more than half of like our stuff. And they were like, Amber, why did you offer? And that's where I was like, okay, interesting. All the girls are saying that I should have never even offered. But all the guys that I talked to are like, no, you should always offer because guys really appreciate it.
Yeah, I think you should offer, but maybe not like, hey, do you want to split that or something? Like, I think the way you're saying, like, do you need help with that? And then the guy would be like, oh, a girl helping me. Nah, and then feel more emasculated to then.
I feel like, but it, like, you, by doing this, you unlocked an entire kind of scenario that you may not have otherwise. And you got your answer quicker of what type yeah. of a person this might be.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you should ask to, or like offer, sorry.
Yeah,
because I think that it. Both, if you're like, especially on a first time, you're kind of seeing each other's behaviors. Oh, this person did this, that they did this. I noticed like this and that. If you're somebody who is observant and is like, you know, even the way that they're talking to like a waiter or whatever, right? All of these things, if they're even driving a certain way, if are they trying to be impressive or are they trying to be comforting? Mm-hmm. Are they checking up on you? Are they looking at the time? Are they mm-hmm. considerate of, you know, how much time you took out of your day to do this, how you're feeling to make you feel comfortable. Like, you're with a stranger essentially first time.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of these things, I feel like if you're somebody who's just kind of noticing all of this, you go back home and you sit with it, then you're like, okay, this calls for a second meeting. Or you're like, these were red flags.
Mm-hmm.
I did not feel comfortable or like where this goes. Then you can be like, let me at least give it another chance. And then you see again, mm-hmm. or you've gotten your answers the first time.
That's true. You know what the first red flag was that I didn't realize until right before I had already agreed to go on this date? we have one mutual friend. That mutual friend is my ex.
Oh.
Well, The Weeknd?
The Weeknd. Well,
yeah.
Yeah, I think the issue is you.
Your selection.
Your selection.
Yeah.
We even asked, I was like, oh, do we have any mutual friends? And he was like, yeah, like we have this person. And I was like, oh, how
does he know?
Well, I said, I was like, oh, how do you know them? And they were like, oh, like, you know, I just happen to know them like from Instagram and stuff. And I ended up meeting them this past Ramadan. And then right as soon as he was about to ask me, I was like, oh my God, my niece is calling me. Hold on, let me call you back.
Why? You didn't want to come up with a lie?
I didn't want to lie. Oh. Like, if you're going to ask me, I'm going to tell the truth. Okay. But I'm dodging it.
Well, he's probably seen you before.
Who?
The guy you were on a date with.
Seen me where?
Like, if he's friends with your social with media the or mutual.
It's like a social media friend, and my ex did not post me. My ex barely gave a shit about me.
Maybe on the close friends, he was like,
P4 cover. P4 cover.
No. Funny enough, when I met my ex, we didn't have any mutual friends, and I met this person in D.C. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Very much coincidence. Anyways. Let me know what you girlies and what do we call, what's a girl boy version of girlies?
The bros.
Fellas.
Okay, fellas, I can't homies. Say that. Okay, well, ladies and gents.
The bros.
The bros and the girlies. Can you let me know, like, what do you think? Like, should you not be paying for the first date? Should girls not be offering? I want to know.
Also, just, I feel like general rule, just don't say, you got me next time. Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah.
It, like, totally just, like, dismisses, like...
Yeah.
Your effort and all of that.
Yeah.
Like me personally, like when it comes to friends, anybody who I genuinely just like want to pay for, I love to do that. And I don't even want to consider like I'll do it next time too. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like when you say like, oh, I got you next time. It's like, what is this exchange? Yeah. What are we doing here?
Like it's an unspoken thing where it can be a next time type of thing. But as soon as he started, after I had done that, he was like, yeah, like, I would really like to go hiking with you and like whatever. And in my head, I'm like, not happening, not happening, not happening, because I'm kind of just like annoyed that you brought me out to these two things. And now I'm spending over $100 to hang out with you when you're taking me out.
Yeah.
No.
I just had another question.
And I drove an hour.
Oh, that's crazy.
I drove an hour to D.C.
Dang.
I took myself out on this date. I have no self-respect for myself.
Okay, another question. At what point in the amount of dates does the girl fully pay for the date?
I think occasions. Like birthdays.
Okay.
I think...
So it's not like a set amount of dates. It's like the occasion.
You know what? One of my homeboys, he's like very frugal. And he said it himself. He was like, I'll let the girl pay for like smaller stuff. Like if she like... If we're at Chipotle or something and like she buys it for both of us, but if it's over like $60, then like most of the time we'll take care of it. But the little stuff in between, if she wants to get it, whatever, and there's like a decent understanding, I think it's fair that I get the bigger tabs and she gets the little things along the way. And then also if you're being treated, like you got a promotion, you like it's your birthday, there's some sort of celebration attached to it.
Yeah.
But I think to keep it calm and not be weird, I think it's okay to just split the bill after a couple of months in, like consistently. If you guys are both foodies and you guys both want to go out, or say for example, the guy doesn't really feel like going out that much and I really like the restaurant experience and I really want that, whatever. I think it's only right that I don't just demand my man to go to a restaurant that I want to go to and I want to go to all these places and then I'm making him pay for it too. Like at that point I should be splitting the bill.
If she's a good person and like wants to genuinely do something, like I know I have a really hard time accepting gifts, surprises, all of that kind of stuff. Like it's just tough for me to accept it or whatever, right? But and there's other people that I know that are like this. But if you kind of just like put that away and acknowledge that they want to do something, it makes them feel special and it makes them feel like they can also like, you know, put in an effort and whatever else. Because if I was on that side where like somebody's doing something for me all the time, I would feel like, no, like that's just not comfortable to me at all. So like being kind of aware of that, and at least like if it's like you're saying nothing crazy, but something that just makes them feel good and they're doing it for you. So it's like mm-hmm. just saying, you know, thank you and accepting and like being nice about it is something I definitely had to like learn over time, even mm-hmm. with friends and family and everything. So yeah, it's like just being aware and acknowledging each other's efforts, yeah. I think is important.
Facts.
P5 coming soon.
Mm. Are you going to be on the cover?
Depends on how crazy it is this time, because this is really pushing it.
I told you guys I was in Connecticut this past weekend. So on Friday, we have Juma, which is our Friday prayers. I heard that there was going to be a Friday prayer happening at Yale. And you guys have seen the protests that have been going on across campuses in the United States that is protesting the genocide, basically, on Gaza. And, you know, there's been a lot of backlash against it. Police have been showing up and arresting students and all
is
types of stuff.
Is backlash a word?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why does it sound so weird? Sorry. So sorry.
Thank you.
sorry.
So it's been kind of like a lot of commotion going on.
It's definitely a word. I'm so sorry. Sorry.
Her brain's not braining right now.
Yeah, sorry.
And this is why she does covers. So I was like, let me go and let me see what the scene is like. I want to be there to support the students who've been so like brave and, you know, just coming forward when our country, our political leaders haven't been doing enough. And it was really nice. Like there was we all prayed in the center of campus and there was people around us in safety vests and, you know, in different. There was non-Muslims there and kufiyas and everything who were kind of like made a chain while we were praying in the center. There was a beautiful khutbah done that encouraged the students that were there. There was literally tents set up for kids who had been, you know, there for a while, just holding base. And there was professors and a lot of Jewish people that were there also, you know, Jewish Voice for Peace, but also just Jewish students. And it just made me think, like, you know, you had asked this question beforehand of like, you know, where is the anti-Semitism even? Because we're seeing all people who have been from across, you know, different religions, different backgrounds supporting this cause, anti-war people. We've seen this movement plenty of times before. Where people are just protesting something that feels wrong against innocent civilians dying in other parts of the world.
Right.
And so it's like, who are the people that are actually anti-Semitic? Because I only see it amongst the media and news. Like, I don't know if you guys saw, but Candace Owens got kicked out of the...
That's crazy.
She got kicked out of what?
What's it called? The Daily Wire. That's Ben Shapiro's whole thing. And they were... Their whole... thing when they made that media network was like free speech,
yeah,
right? And then it became this whole thing where like anything you say that is critical of the state of Israel, Zionism,
which is not towards the religion,
exactly, becomes, they just mark it as anti-Semitic, and then they can literally get rid of you.
Mm-hmm.
And like that reminded me of like this guy who was there at the campus while we were praying. He was all the way in the front. And he was just like screaming. It was a Christian guy. He was like holding the Bible and he was like, you know, Islam is not the answer. Judaism like is not the answer. He's saying all this stuff. I'm like, and everyone's just walking by him because everyone around him understands that like we're not talking about religion.
Yeah, it's not.
And that's where I think that like people who want to maintain the control and power, especially amongst the media and news, that's what they keep trying to like, you know, use as the scapegoat, right? It's mm-hmm. like, oh, you're being against this religion. This whole movement is against Jewish people.
Yeah. Or and calling it's easy it to like, say that. Saying that you're inciting violence by being pro-Palestine.
Right.
Like, that's a crazy statement.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Like, what? Yeah.
And that's where celebrities and certain people and, you know, certain figures that we look up to can also kind of carry this false narrative, I think, because they're blinded by it. I see Scooter Braun. I know he has like this Jewish background and everything, He's constantly promoting this, like, he's only voicing things for, like, through a Jewish lens, yeah, and not acknowledging the worldly affair side of things.
Yeah. I have a friend. She was, like, a huge fan of Big Time Rush, right? Like, okay, the old Nickelodeon band, right?
Sure.
And so now they're on, like, a reunion tour, and, like, they're getting popularity back again. Like, all these bands are, like, you know, like, the Jonas Brothers and all that stuff. So Big Time Rush, right? One of the members, he's Jewish, and basically she was a huge fan of them. She would go to, like, their meet and greets, all that stuff, even, like, today. And so the member started doing ads for Israel.
Oh, my God.
Like, literally ads. Mm, yeah. Like, oh, yeah, come to Israel. Look how it's so bad.
Maybe, you know? bills were due because I know they're paying big bucks,
yeah,
to be, like, doing Israel ads.
Yeah, it's crazy. And she was Muslim. So my friend, so she was like, what the heck are you doing? She like, she's like, also makes content and stuff. So she made like a kind of like a video, like, what are you doing? Like, what is this? Like, why are you doing this? What's the point?
Yeah.
Like, why are you just, you know, going so hard for this when there's clear evidence on the other side where it's much more negative?
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to bring up an example of somebody who I think we all collectively look up to a lot, is Casey Neistat. Who is a content creator. If you don't know, he's one of the biggest YouTubers on the platform. And it's, you know, we've seen Casey take political stances before, but as kind of somebody who makes documentaries and does a lot of research behind things and tries to see both sides, quote unquote, I feel like he totally fails as a storyteller.
Yeah.
When he posts something like this. He says, protest the war, it's your right, but death to America, death to the Jews. You can F right off with that. Discrimination against an entire ethnic group because of the actions of a country 6,000 miles away is un-American unconscionable. Ironic statement, right?
Yeah.
He says, discrimination against an entire ethnic group because of the actions of a country 6,000 miles away. I mean, I just think this whole picture is very ironic.
Yeah, what does the shirt say?
It says anti-Semitism is tough, but Jews are tougher.
There's like this thing where they say that like you can become famous and that's really cool and you can like really like somebody creatively, but there always comes a time where you can just tell that they like didn't go to college or like didn't have like the right critical, like, because I do think that going to at least some college or like at least like finishing high school at the very least gives you the tools. If you don't have them from your own everyday life that you're not able to obtain them, like you get the tools to be able to think critically.
I don't know that. I mean, that's, I think for in certain circumstances, you're right, but there's also a lot of schools. I mean, we see the campuses who are, you know, not supporting the kids.
Right.
So it depends where you go to school, who your teachers are for sure.
I think as college students, you're still very much like impressionable based off of your parents' families and beliefs. Like you're still young enough where you're still financially dependent on them. And so if you were, you know, like a certain belief all through high school, I'm not going to say that the year that you go to college, you're going to change your beliefs. But as an adult who should have the tools and resources to be able to think critically, who has challenged the state of New York, and being able to do that, I think in this case, it's very clear that you're purposely blinding yourself from the bulk of information and hyper fixating on something that's a very small part of the problem. Like you're very much not focused on the thousands of people who are dying, but the quote unquote anti-Semitism, which the second that there is something anti-Semitic, every single news organization is going to pick it up because that's exactly feeding their narrative. But there's so much countless evidence for like children, people, humans in general dying. And that is not what you are at all focused on or acknowledging. And I think that's where I'm making that point, where you have the right, you could have had the right tools and resources. At least that's the only way that I can make this a forgivable statement, is that he just is not given the right tools to think critically.
Yeah. And, you know, I playing kind of devil's advocate, like we talked about this right before the podcast, but everyone's saying like anti-Semitism, there's ads on it, billboards, like stop anti-Semitism and stuff like that. Personally, maybe I'm on the wrong side of the algorithm, whatnot. I'm not seeing like anti-Semitism at all.
And all of the comments are also like acknowledging that. They're all like, you know, no one is saying that. Bro doesn't get it. playing the victim in this scenario is wild.
And I'm not denying that there probably is anti-Semitism.
For sure.
I'm sure there are.
No doubt. Know?
But I think...
The majority is not that.
Majority is not that.
And when it comes to, you know, discrimination, hate crimes, all of that kind of stuff, like, I mean, it's not like you don't always want to compare, but it's like, what is the bigger story here? What are the people saying, right? I think that this photo is actually a very good kind of ironic commentary on the position we're in, because the American flag is behind him. We have the symbolism and basically the stance that he's taking for Israel in front of the American flag, which shows our priorities in this country that we put that Israel is our daddy.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. America is second. The people here are second. And then I like that he has sunglasses on because he's blinded to what's going on.
I'm crying.
And then he has his hands in his pocket so we can't see who the blood whose hands the blood is on.
Dang.
This is why I like this photo.
Do you think like he just posted up and he's like, you know what? I'm gonna post a banger today.
Right.
Or like what is this?
Like he thought he ate.
Yeah, he thought he ate. Or like the smile. I don't know. Like it's just funny.
How are you gonna play victim when you have money, power, and media on your side?
By the way, I think that like
be
you know,
so for real.
Yeah.
I think it's because I see like Jesse, who is also like has a what's his name from that prank show. Yeah. He's a YouTuber.
No, not
P versus P.
Yeah.
The girlfriend versus boyfriend.
Girlfriend versus
from
boyfriend.
From Philly.
Yeah.
So he
was also Casey's friend.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was like, you know, proud of you, Casey. And he's very proud of like his roots and everything like that, right? So I understand from that perspective of like I just want to stand up for
a friend where who's very passionate.
Well, they're both like have that background, right? He has the Jewish the Star of David tattooed on him as well.
Yeah, right.
And I think his grandfather's father, something like that, like related to the Holocaust, whatever it might be. So I understand the kind of like emotional the roots of that and standing up for like, you know, never happening again against your kind, right? But what is a stronger kind of stance to take on that? Representing a people who like, you know, that the narrative is not really about right now, or being the people who something like this happened to, and then taking a stance for another group of people so that it doesn't happen to them. Mm-hmm. Like what's more powerful, right? Like it would be so powerful as a Jewish person, as a content creator, as a voice of the people for Casey to be like, hey, I'm Jewish and this is my background. This is what I care about. But right now, this is what's going on. And as a Jewish person, I would never want this to happen to what's happening to Gaza, right? Mm-hmm. It would just be like a crazy kind of heroic thing to do. And your people, your roots would be shined much more.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, when it comes to narratives, you shared this really cool video.
Yeah. Because Amber was talking,
set it up?
Amber was talking about just now. She was saying like, how can you be, when you have like the media and like the money and the power behind your side, how can you see yourself as the victim? And so this, I saw this on TikTok and it was a really good video describing sort of like all the media that we like love and how it relates to today.
So this is that. It's from Sultan of Savage.
So you watched The Hunger Games and you sided with the resistance. You watched Star Wars and you sided with the resistance. You watched The Matrix and you understood and sided with the resistance. You watched the movie Divergent, and you sided with the resistance. You watched V for Vendetta, and you cheered on the resistance. When it's fiction, you understand, and you side with the resistance. Yet when it's happening to you in real life, right now, in the news, in the world, right now, you refuse to see it when it's the reality that you are living in. You're afraid to resist. In real life. Phew, blows my mind.
That's so crazy.
You watch The Hunger.
Yeah.
That's such a good point. Like you love the idea of like standing for something you believe in. And that's really the case of all the colleges that they're dealing with. Like a lot of people, they even were accepted based on their level of activism and their care for a cause and all of that. But the second that you start practicing it and it's not towards their agenda, that's when it's a problem.
Yeah. We learned in our like history books, like, oh yeah, MLK stood for this, you know, Malcolm X stood for this. Like,
and those people faced the same thing. Then.
Had the biggest haters.
Yeah. They had the biggest.
Muhammad Ali, like people were like, bro, what is wrong with this guy being anti-war?
Yeah.
And what did that war in Vietnam like do for the country? Like people are seriously affected by it. Like America took a huge L.
Yeah.
And they never, like, you know, they only talk about it after the fact.
And we're still affected by it because of, like, all the drugs and all that stuff that happened afterwards.
And they'll be quick to be like, oh, anti-Semitic, oh, Hamas.
Also, I'm like, we are so many months out from October 7th, and that's not to, like, diminish what happened, but why is it still constantly like, do you condemn what happened on October 7th? Yeah, buddy, but do you condemn what happened yesterday? Do you condemn what happened earlier this afternoon?
Over the last 75 years.
Literally, like, how much do you want to make sure that people take accountability and responsibility over a group, but you can't have, like, you're actively funding and verbally validating things that are happening right now without having any explanation or anything for it.
But. Also, these protests that I've been seeing in schools, I feel like I haven't seen them that often, but I feel like this is like a different sort of, like, people are like camping. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys seen this or like has it happened often, but I think it's like an interesting.
In 2014 was the last time, was when I was in college. And there was a pro-Palestine thing. And I remember at that time, it was a quarter, a tenth of the, like, awareness than that there is now. I think TikTok has a lot to do with that. And so at that time, I remember we, like, organized as a group, like, groups going to D.C. and having protests. So we'd like organize groups, go on the metro together, go to protests. And I remember at that time, they're like 10,000 people showed up. This is crazy. And like, that's just not even at the level of now. Like, there's just such bigger groups. So I think for the level of what it was, there was a level of activism. But this makes me really happy to see because it directly equates to the amount of people that are aware, involved, and it's high-key disruptive in a very peaceful way. That's exactly what you're teaching them to do.
Well, I was specifically talking about, like, the camping aspect.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't seen that ever.
Yeah. Well, you know what's unique about this is, like, the universities that got involved right away, you know, we're talking about the prestigious ones, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking about MIT, Harvard, Yale, like, all of these places.
And they're directly funding Israel in, like, certain projects or whatever.
So, like, these are the students who are, you know, amongst the most privileged, the ones that are going to be fine in life, the ones that are going to be running the country, the ones that whose parents could have gotten them into these places and could be, like, you know, responsible for funding and decision making in politics and other places, which fund these very operations that they're protesting. So it's like we have this student body who is in a very unique and powerful position, willing to sacrifice and do the right thing.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so kind of groundbreaking for them to do it, because it's like they don't have to, but they are.
Yeah. I think there was like proof of it being successful in the past. I could be wrong. I think it was Colombia, where there was a similar situation like decades ago where there was an encampment and the university did actually end up pulling out the funding. Because they actually were funding a problematic country at the time. I wish I had better facts on this. But the whole idea was that they protested it and the university actually listened to them and pulled out funding for it. And so I know University of Maryland and all these other colleges are all saying, like, pull out your funding and divest.
I mean, it's very smart because, like, one, I feel like if you go to a protest, like, you're standing there and the most amount you can stand is probably like a couple hours, right? People are handing out water and snacks, but like that's not going to hold you. But if you camp, you can potentially stay there for weeks. Mm-hmm. And when you're there, like, other food trucks might come that like support it and give people the food. And then it kind of is like, obviously it is a stressful environment, but it's also like a comforting as well as like a homey environment.
And like uniting.
And the university's against it because they're kind of acting quote unquote like homeless on their, you know, property. And they obviously don't want people sleeping on their property. But if there's that many people, like, how can you remove that?
And it's also like not a public place. So it's like it's your responsibility to protect these students that are attending a university. Mm. So it's kind of like this weird dilemma where they're like, do we act aggressively to these students or should we protect them and the values that we're trying to instill in them as professors, as the university, as a board? And I think that's where we see the divide. Like, it's like professors might be on one side of it, whereas boards might be on another side, like investors and board members, because a lot of professors are like, hold on, wait, we stand with students because we do teach these things.
Yeah.
Whereas the board and the money essentially that's all funneling in is like, whoa, whoa, we're against it. So there's like an internal battle going on as well.
Yep.
Do we want to share this last clip?
Yeah, this is a funny little note to end on. I saw this clip from Hassan Piker. He went on Piers Morgan, and he had Piers Morgan had Hassan, who's obviously pro-Palestinian. We had a pro-Israeli person, one who was, and two kind of more neutral, but like fact-bringing people. But one of them was lacking facts, and Hassan just had some few choice words for him, and I thought this was a funny note to end on.
Listen to what I'm saying, and you will understand, perhaps, what I'm trying
That's
to imply here.
That's very patronizing.
Here. Utilizing the hostages. Yeah, I am being patronizing. I don't know who the fuck you are, and you're over here chirping all the way from fucking London about Palestine and doing a both sides are fucking fine type bullshit, where you're talking about how you want to fucking free Palestine, but also simultaneously, you know, both sides got a lot going on. Shut the fuck up. You don't know anything, okay? Listen to what I'm saying.
The funny thing is, that's how he like talks to his chatters, like all the time. Like someone will say, like troll him or something like that. He talks exactly like that. So someone was like, "Yo, he's talking to a chatter in real life."
Sometimes you just feel the emotions. You're like, you know, we've given the facts. We've like, you see what's going on, clear as day. But it's like at some point, people are just like, shut up.
Just yeah. Shut up. And I feel the foreign hand really got me. He's like, you don't know anything you're talking about. Shut up and go away.
Yeah. And the hilarious thing is, like, if you're in a professional debate, like, most people would not do that. They would be like, oh, once you're emotional, you lose.
Right.
But he's like, I don't care. Like, this is how I feel. Like, and you're dumb. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
This is so funny.
Free Palestine, please. Just stop, people.
Yeah.
Get with the program. Do the right thing. Okay. This is interesting because a lot of people speculate that this TikTok situation stemmed from this very kind of conversation, because there's a lot of Gen Zers, shout out to Gen Z, who are like waking up and they're like, you know what? We have nothing to lose. Our future is screwed. Let's just, you know, reveal the truth and stop listening to people who don't know how to run this country. A lot of pro-Palestine content and truth about Palestine came from TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, TikTok is now trying, needs to be controlled or at this point banned, mm-hmm. unless they sell to a U.S. company. Is that right?
Where they can like work on their guidelines better. And
basically, it was like a 79-18 vote from the Senate to pass this bill to ban TikTok.
79-18?
Yeah. And then as soon as it got to the president, he was just like immediately like, yeah, I'm going to sign it. And then he signed it.
But 79 for banning it?
What? Yeah, 79 for banning it.
What the? Who is on those seats? Because I just want to have it. I can't wait till Gen Z occupies those seats. I cannot wait till they're up over there being like, nah, we kind of like our voice.
It's because Joe Biden tried to make a TikTok. He sucked at it. saw that one? He was like trying to do like a, I forget, he was like singing or dancing or what he was doing, but shit sucked.
Yeah.
It flopped. People were like, bro, get off this. Yeah, and then he was like, we got a ban.
It has 9 months to get banned, right?
Yeah, so it has 9 months. I've heard that like there's a lot of legal stuff that goes in between this. So it might not actually be like 9 months. It might take way longer.
But on that note, isn't it an election year this year?
It is an election year. So
let's, does Joe Biden really want to lose?
Also, yeah.
Like, that's a lot of new voters that you're like, kind of not like, he's just not doing it right.
Yeah. And it's also just sad that like in the past 4 years, the only thing he's concretely done is do this.
Yeah. Sorry.
This was the one that he, it was
Chiefs or Niners.
Two great quarterbacks, hard to decide. But if I didn't say I was for the Eagles, then I'd be sleeping alone. My wife's a Philly girl.
Game or commercials?
Game.
Game or halftime show?
Game.
Jason Kelsey or Travis Kelsey?
Mama Kelsey. I understand she makes great chocolate chip cookies.
Deviously plotting to rig the season so the Chiefs would make the Super Bowl, or the Chiefs just being a good football team?
You get in trouble if I told you.
Trump or Biden?
Are you kidding? Trump or Biden?
I will say whoever his like social media manager was, he definitely hired Gen Z for a hot second with that whole Chiefs meme that he had with the eyes and being like, eyes, just how we like expect it to be or whatever.
comments are turned off. When you turn the comments off, you're getting grilled.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they definitely tried to slay, but like he's just like, it's sad because I'm like, if this is an election year and Trump is one option and Biden is the other, what the hell are we going to do?
Vote for Trump.
Third Isn't party.
John F. Kennedy's nephew is running.
Yeah. You're talking about RFK?
RFK.
I'm like, I'm done. I don't even know what he stands for, but it's just another option.
It's like, do you even vote for him? He's not going to win.
Yeah, but if he made his whole, what is it, like 2 to 3% typically vote for independent party? Imagine if his entire campaign was that he's going to make sure that TikTok doesn't get banned. Oh my God, he's going to shoot up.
But I still think he wouldn't win.
He wouldn't win, but like...
He's not going to win because people have conversations like this, right? They're like, yeah, but no one else is going to do it.
Yeah.
And that's the majority thing.
I'm relying on Gen Z because they don't care about all this. Like, this is the millennial and like up above thinking. I think Gen Z is like, oh, we don't agree with this. We're going to push for it. We're going to do it. And stuff like that.
Because I'm not voting for Joe Biden. If there's an independent party that I agree with, I'm not going to, in good faith, be able to vote for Joe. I don't care if it takes away from it or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm going to vote for whoever.
RFK, I've seen him posing up with like Zionists and stuff. That was on Twitter too. But dang. Like, honestly, who isn't? I think the stronger statement to make would be, like, for once, let's just do a third party thing so that these parties don't think that like we're the only option. Mm-hmm. I think like regardless,
yeah, it's smart.
You know, it might just be like, for once, let's do this so that there's competition, right? Like when you have a monopoly on something in business, that's not allowed.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, you know, Apple is getting sued left and right because they're like, oh, like, you know, you guys are controlling everybody's cell phones.
Yeah.
We don't like that. The government doesn't like that. So then why are we doing it with our own political system?
Yeah.
Like, we just need at least one time where it's just like, let's, as the people, show the government that, like, we don't care. Like, we're not even looking at policy at this point. We're saying that, like, you don't get to say that, like, we have no choice.
Yeah.
Mm. We're going to create the choices. And, yeah, I feel like at least once, if we as a people just did that. I've voted for third party before, by the way. So I don't look at, like, oh, yeah, they're definitely going to lose. And people, like, will be down my throat about it. Did you vote for
Harambe? that one you're Kanye? Mickey Mouse.
Wait, you did?
No.
Okay, I was like, wait, what?
It's like the guy in India that was trying to get people to vote for Playboy Cardi.
Playboy Cardi. Because
you can like write in whatever. People are voting for all types of people.
Oh.
But yeah,
can
I think
back Bernie.
He's a,
we did Bernie wrong. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh well.
Oh well.
Oh well. But yeah, it's sad.
The voice of defeat.
It's sad that TikTok's getting banned. So, it seems like it's official, but like there's still a lot of legal stuff in between. So
I thought you were about to say, it's sad that TikTok's getting banned. So, follow me on Instagram.
Yeah, that too. Follow me on Instagram.
Yeah, they if TikTok gets banned, I have to say that like, and I think we've talked about this before because there was several kind of like threats that TikTok was going to get banned. But like, honestly, my algorithm on TikTok is so good.
I know.
It's taught me so much. It's given me just the right amount of everything when it comes to education, technology, you know, passion things, and then funny things, creative things. I heard that like if they do sell to an American company, that they were not going to give up their algorithm, which is really interesting.
Yeah. I also don't know like what company would buy it because like it'd be very expensive.
Oh, and you don't know?
No.
You don't know the top buyer that's in position?
No. Soulja Boy?
Soulja Boy. Yo, SODMG.com. Yeah. So.
He's like, I'll buy it.
Yeah. Crank it.
That's funny.
I mean, like, if people donated money to him, he could low-key do that.
Every time you go,
but it'd be a lot.
It's a lot of money.
No, I don't think he would have enough.
He definitely wouldn't have enough. Also, I think that the CEO said he's straight up not selling. He'd rather get banned than sell it.
Well, the thing is, he has to hold that position because he can't like fold to the government. Yeah, that's true. Right?
But I like that.
Because then also, what would happen to any company in the future? They would also fold. So this is going to be like a monumental sort of time in history where it's just like, what will they do?
Setting the precedent.
I think if we open the app and we just, you know, saw the TikTok symbol with you I'm down for that.
I'm down. Yeah.
I mean, like, this is because it's not like a physical product. It was like harder and it's like more in our face about the ban. Whereas, like, I was seeing a TikTok about this phone company in Asia. I think it's called like Huawei. Yeah. And how it's like 10 times far more advanced than Apple. They have cars, they have smartphones, they have everything, but it's just banned in the US.
It was banned in the US because of Trump. And he said, like, no. First of all, they're taking so much market share. So, by the way, like, Google, their software was on Huawei. Oh. So Huawei was using their software. And then Trump was like, hey, we don't want, like, you know, American made companies dealing with China. So we're cutting it off. So they cut off Google from Huawei phones, right? In like 3 weeks, Huawei had their entire software better than Google on all their phones. And also, all their phones are much better. Huawei's like significantly more advanced, like you're saying. But we're not allowed to have Huawei phones in the US.
You know what's funny about that?
We didn't have these bans.
They were also like, oh, there's a threat of like foreign software within American devices. And at the same time, they hired, I think it was China, to do all of the military-based security systems. So literally, really? Yeah, I heard this on Joe Rogan. And they were talking about how, like, literally our defense is the software for all their security is created by another country. But for the people, we're not allowed to have that. And it's cheaper for them to have it made by them. They won't hire, you know, Americans to do that.
Yeah.
But then they're like forcing or encouraging business owners to be like, no, like American made, we need to do it American, this and that. And that's why businessmen who like Elon or whoever else, like they'll try to pass this whole thing where they're like, oh, the rich people, like they're doing this to us. They're doing like this coming from the liberals. It's like, wait, but the government is doing the same thing when it comes to the places they buy and get people to create their software or whatever. So then this rule that business people are taking advantage of is literally like allowed. So it's like, why are you trying to turn us against billionaires? We should have the government like.
Yeah, we should put more scrutiny on the government. That's what I think. Mm. But also like speaking of data with at least TikTok, like TikTok has made an effort to have all the data in the US. So all that data is in the U.S. secured by U.S. companies to protect that data. So like TikTok was trying really hard to like secure that data as much as possible, follow their standards. Mm-hmm. And now they have to like be forced to sell. So that's why they're just holding on strong.
That's crazy.
And how about America just stop creating so many enemies and then we won't have to worry about who's in our software and doing this and that.
Yeah.
And like if we want to be as like progressing towards a better future, maybe don't try to limit so much greatness.
That's all. Boom.
Yeah. Boom.
Okay, let's go and have some fun on the Patreon.
Yeah.
This was a necessary conversation, and we still had some fun times. Go check out Amber on the P4 cover.
Tell me if I killed it. Tell me if I ate. Tell me if I slayed.
But we appreciate everybody listening. It's been another week.
Another flavor.
A little less stranger.
We'll talk to you next time.